How you doing, Nate? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Ayin Hey, Daf 75 of Masechta Bava Metzia. Friends, your friends. All right, here's the dealio. Today's a monumental day in Babylon Talmud. Monumental. We're finishing Ezu Nesha Chevra. This just feels like such a humongous accomplishment. This is the second, Bava Metzia, as I have said 1,000 times before, and as I talked about 2 days ago, Bava Metzia just blows my mind. This is the second perek out of 5 that we've learned so far in Bava Metzia that I feel like I can make a siyum on just this perek. It's such an accomplishment. I have never felt that way about any other perek until Shnayim Oichzim Betalis, also in this Masechta. It's unbelievable. It just feels like my whole life I've been hearing about Ezu Neshech. It's so hard. We did it. We did the hardest thing in the world. Let's go weiter. All right. So we can start in Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So we have, okay, so I stopped at the Mishnah towards the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis just because it's there's a, I wouldn't call it, I don't know, whatever it is. It's a little bit slow, I guess you could say. And I just didn't want to do it at the end of the daf. Like, I feel like the end of the daf, you know, especially because this is really the only, you know, if we start with this, so there's like a little bit of a hump at the beginning, and then we can really, it's not so hard for the rest of the perek, and then we'll just make, we'll complete perek Ezu Neshech. Okay. So we're going to start on daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishneh. 10-15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. 1 second. Sorry, Bob. Alright. Okay. Here we go. Okay, says the Mishnah. Malve Adam. Okay, Givaldo. So today, we're going to discuss Sa'ah B'Sa'ah loans, right? It's been coming up. There's a few really important things that are going to come up in today's daf that, have been sort of coming up in this perek already, and here's the source of them. So Sa'ah B'Sa'ah, for example. So Malva Adam es Arisov Chitin B'Chitin Lezerav Alo Lecho. So so the owner of a field on which there is a sharecropper. So the owner of the field could provide, a Sa'ah, let's say, of seeds of wheat, right, and say, pay me back a sa'ah of wheat. So we're going to explain how exactly this works and why it works, because after all, sa'ah b'sa'ah is generally not allowed, right? I can't say, hey, can you lend me a sa'ah of wheat and I'll pay you back a sa'ah of wheat, because if by the time that I go to pay back the loan, the value of a sa'ah of wheat increases, then we have to be concerned now about ribbis. So, avak ribbis. But anyways, but in this case, the scenario of the owner of the field can lend a sa'ah of seeds to a sharecropper who will return a sa'ah of seeds. And we'll have to understand why. It's because it's not actually considered a loan. It's considered part of the agreement. We're going to get into it in the Gemara. So lezera, so that's specifically to seed the field. Velo lecho, but not to eat. Kilo, you can't give him a sa'ah loan in order to eat. The whole point is that it's part of the contract for working the field, and as we're going to get into, maybe even before we start the Gemara, we'll have to see. I'll think for a second about how I want to explain it. Fine. Shahari Rabbi Gamliel, where am I? Malve Adam is arisa v'chitim b'chitim lezera velo lecho. Shahari Rabbi Gamliel, malve is arisa v'chitim b'chitim lezera. Now Rabbi Gamliel would, I guess loan, but I think it wasn't really a loan per se, his sharecropper's wheat and say, return me that amount of wheat for seed, but not for eating. Now, if when he gave them the seeds, they were more expensive and then they decreased in value, or if they were cheaper at the time, but then they increased in value, not a man, he would always collect from them whatever the cheaper value was. Okay, not because that's the halacha, because after all, the Mishnah opened by saying that you can just do this and you don't have to, give the lower value. So he just wanted to be more stringent, you know, and he didn't want to go anywhere near ribbis, even though this isn't actually ribbis. But so he would took it upon himself that if there was a fluctuation in the value, so he would always, you know, he would always take the lesser amount. But again, you don't need to do it in this particular context of the sharecropper and the owner of the field. Okay, so how about this? It's a complicated Gemara to explain as we go. I think I'm just going to explain everything outside and then read it inside. How does that sound? Sounds good? Good. Okay. So as I mentioned in the Mishnah, so the saw besaw in this particular case of the sharecropper and the landlord, the parts. Well, no, the parts I feel like is not a Jewish landlord. The landlord. So the sharecropper and the landlord. So, as I mentioned in the Mishnah, the reason why this arrangement is allowed when the landlord provides seeds to the sharecropper, you know, let's say a saw of wheat, and the sharecropper will return a saw of wheat. The reason why that's allowed is because it's actually not considered a loan. It's actually considered part of their sharecropping agreement as part of the contract. So now let me explain why that would be. So now, in order to explain why that would be, I need to explain different minhagim of sharecropping, as the Gemara will explain. Was there one other thing I wanted to say? No, why am I like... I feel like my brain usually breaks things down pretty good, actually. I feel like I'm not having a hard time breaking things down, but it doesn't matter. It's fine. We'll be completely fine. Okay. So, there are two minhagim of how sharecropping works vis-a-vis the seeds, okay? One mahalich was that the landlord would provide the seeds, and then the sharecropper would use those seeds to seed the field. Okay. The other minig was that the sharecropper would provide the seeds for the field, and it was just dependent on where you were. Okay, it depends on the place. Some places it was the landlord that would provide the seeds, and then the sharecropper would work the field. And in other places, the sharecropper would be responsible for his own seeds. Okay, now there's a nafkamina, which is that in a place where the landlord provided the seeds, so basically the sharecropper has everything that he needs to start working, right? He's got the land provided by the landlord. The landlord is also providing the seeds. He's got everything he needs, which means, therefore, that once the sharecropper gets on the land and starts, you know, plowing and starts working the land, at that point, their arrangement begins. He is now a sharecropper. Right? He's now sharecropping the land. Now, in a place where the sharecropper provides the seeds, well, going on to the land and starting to like plow it or whatever, that doesn't actually start their agreement yet. It's not considered yet to have been started. It's only considered to have been started once he brings his seeds there, and now he's got his seeds, he's got everything he needs. At that point, it's considered that the agreement has begun. Okay, so again, if the landlord provides everything, the land, the seeds, so once the sharecropper begins working the field, so at that point their agreement is considered to have begun. If it's a place where the sharecropper is expected to provide the seeds, so then the agreement begins. It's considered like their sharecropping agreement has begun once he comes with his seeds. Why is that important when the sharecropper agreement has begun? The reason why it's important is precisely to answer the question of why is this sa'a b'sa'a arrangement allowed, and why is this not considered a loan? And what does it mean that it's actually part of their agreement rather than a loan? Well, let's start with after the sharecropping agreement has begun and that what it means to be a loan. And okay. So if this arrangement was made, if the landlord provided the seeds only after the sharecropping agreement had begun, well, then it's just a regular loan, right? Like all contracts, all agreements between them have already been made. He already started working the land. The sharecropping has already begun. If at that point the landlord loans seeds, a sa'a of seeds to the sharecropper, well, then that's a proper loan, and it can't be a sa'a b'sa'a loan. That would be a problem because of avak ribis. However, if this arrangement is made before the sharecropping starts, well, then actually they could work it into their agreement, and he's not actually giving them a loan, giving the sharecropper a loan. What does that mean? Well, for example, let's say it's a place where normally the sharecropper would be expected to provide the seeds. Now, the sharecropper doesn't have the seeds, so the landlord says, okay, I'll give you the seeds. Now, he says, I'm not loaning you the seeds. Rather, here's the thing. We'll work it into our agreement. Normally, around here, we would split the field 50-50, that you'll work the land, and everything that it produces, I'll take half, you take half. But because I'm providing you the seeds, instead of 50-50, I'll take 50% plus, one sa'a's worth of wheat, that I've given you. Now, this is not that I provided for you. Now, this is not a loan. I'm not loaning it to you and you're going to pay me back. Rather, I'm just providing you with more seeds. And because of that, the agreement is that instead of 50%, what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect 50% plus that amount. And that is going to be our agreement. I get 50% plus a sa'a. You get, 49% and whatever it is. And that's now our agreement. But again, it's not that I'm loaning it to you and you're paying me back with it. It's that I'm providing it for you. And therefore, you're going to give me back, 50% plus that amount. I guess there's probably other nafkamin is like, I don't know what happens if like things fail. Does he have to pay him back or whatever? But anyways, so the point is that if they make this arrangement before the sharecropping has begun, well, then they can just consider it as part of their agreement of how much the sharecropper gets and how much the landlord gets, rather than if it's once the sharecropping agreement has already begun, then it's just a regular loan and you do have to be considered about sa'a b'sa'a. Great. I'll explain more outside. So now, as I said, there are two kinds of places. In some places, it's the landlord that it provides the seeds. In other places, it's the sharecropper that's expected to provide the seeds. So in a place where it's the sharecropper, we basically already explained this scenario, that in a place where it's the sharecropper who's expected to provide the seeds, well then, in the event that he doesn't have the seeds, well then, that is where the landlord comes in and he says, you know what, I'll provide you the seeds and, I'll provide you the seeds and, we'll kind of work it into the arrangement that I'll take more to account for the seeds that I've given you. The other maluch would be a place where the landlord is expected to provide the seeds. So if the landlord is expected to provide the seeds, well then, what are we even talking about? I mean, it's just, if it's a 50-50 split, it's a 50-50 split, including the seeds, right? That's just the minhag in this place. But this is talking about a scenario where this landlord thinks very highly of his field. He thinks that his field is mamish the best field that the world ever knew. And it's not, he doesn't feel that he should have to have a 50-50 split and also provide the seeds. In his particular circumstance, he thinks that his field is so good that it would not be fair, he's not interested in making a deal where he splits it 50-50 and also provides the seeds. Therefore, he says, look, you need to provide your own seeds. If you don't want to provide your own seeds, then I will provide seeds for you. But, I'm going to take, more than 50%. And then again, it depends if the sharecropping agreement has already begun. So then it would be a loan and that would be a problem of sa'a b'sa'a. But if the sharecropping agreement has not yet begun, so then it would just be worked into the contract and that would be okay. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. So that was a 15-minute introduction to the Gemara, which I think is why I thought it would be better to start with this rather than to end with it yesterday. I just wonder if I'm going to run out of time before Shabbos. I don't know, we'll see. But the rest of the daf kind of moves relatively quick, so we'll see. Basically, I have a half an hour. Question is, do I have a half an hour? Can I do the whole thing in a half an hour? I don't know. If not, I'll finish on Sunday. This isn't hard stuff. All right. So, says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught. But I think that we did enough of an introduction that we should be able to just like get, you know, move through the Gemara without having to explain too much, I think, at this point. Tanu Rabbanan, the Rebbe's taught. Mave Adam es Arisov Chitim B'Chitim. Okay, so a landlord can lend his sharecropper, you know, a saw of wheat to pay back, a saw of wheat, Lizera, as long as he's going to plant with it, to seed with it. Bame Devar Mamurim. When is this? Shelo Yorad. Aval Yorad Osir. That's only so long as the sharecropper has not yet started working the field. But once he started working the field, it's too late. So where would it matter once he starts working the field? That's a place where the landlord provides the seeds. Since the landlord is providing everything, okay, he's providing the field, providing the seeds, the sharecropper just shows up and starts working. Once already he starts working the field, it's too late. You know, he can't do the saw b'saw alone anymore because then it's saw b'saw and that's a problem. But before he starts working the field, he can work it into the contract, you know, that he's going to provide a saw field and then, you know, it's going to be kind of taken out of his portion, of the sharecropper's portion that he receives. Now, affecting Gemara, Maishna Tana didon de lo kamaflik ben yarad uvein lo yarad. Maishna Tana baro de kamaflik ben yarad uvein lo yarad. So now, how come in this brisa we say that the cutoff point for when it's considered that the sharecropping agreement begins? Why in the brisa is it saying that the cutoff point is when the sharecropper begins working the field? Our Mishnah didn't say anything about when the sharecropper begins working the field. So Omar Ravi says, Ravi, Rabbi Idi Azbar Niali, that Rabbi Idi explained to me. So Be'asr, the Tana Didon, in our Mishnah, where we didn't make any distinction about when he starts working the field, so that's because we're talking about a scenario where the sharecropper provides the seeds, in which case when he starts working the field is not the turning point, is not when when it's considered to begin, but rather when he shows up with his seeds, that's when it's considered to have begun. And therefore, we don't mention anything about starting to work the field in our Mishnah. So again, Be'asr, the Tana Didon, in the place that our Mishnah is talking about, Arisa Yoiv Bizra, it's the sharecropper who's responsible for providing the seeds, Bein Yorad, Uvein Lo Yorad, and therefore, regardless if he started working the field or not, Kama Dilo Yoiv Bizra, so long as he hasn't brought the seeds to the field, Motzi Misalikle, the landlord can still renege, right? The sharecropping agreement is not considered to have begun yet. And therefore, v'chi kanochis, levatzu me'ochi kanochis, and therefore, so long as the sharecropper has not showed up with his seeds, he can make a deal with the landlord, and this is talking about the scenario. So if the landlord says, hey, if you want, I'll provide you with the seeds and we'll just kind of renegotiate the contract. So long as the sharecropper has not yet come to the field with seeds, this contract can be negotiated. And v'chikonochis, and therefore post negotiation of the contract, levatzimeochikonochis, he's now beginning his sharecropping, his sharecropping arrangement for, you know, less than 50% because he's getting seed in exchange. Be'asr the Tana Baro. Now in the locale of the Brisa that makes a distinction between when he starts working the field or not, so that's in a place where it's the landlord who's expected to provide everything. So Mari Ara Yoiv Bizra, it's the landlord who provides everything. And therefore the sharecropper just shows up and starts working the field. So therefore, Ilo Yarad, if the sharecropper has not yet begun working the field, Dimotzi Misalik Lay, so then the landlord can still, renege and say, hey, I don't want you to work, you know, to be a sharecropper. So long as he hasn't started working the field, they could negotiate their contract, and the landlord could say, look, you know, this is a really, really good field. Therefore, I think, and I don't think that I should have to provide you, in addition to 50% of the yield, also the seeds. Therefore, I want you to provide the seeds. If you want me to provide it, we're going to have to kind of renegotiate for, you know, I'll get more than 50%. So then, demotzi misalikle, so kikonochis, levotzi me'ochi kikonochis, and if they arrange this agreement before he starts working the field, so then, when he starts working the field, he'll start working for sort of less of a percentage, you know, less than 50%. Iyarad dilomatzi misalikle also. But if he has already started working the field, which means that their agreement has already begun, the contract is already final, and then he borrows seeds from the landlord, then it'll be a problem of sa'a b'sa'a, so you'd have to be careful about that. Wow, okay. That was the sort of tricky part of the sort of complex part of the daf, and the rest is really pretty smooth sailing, I think. Tanur Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Omer Adam Lachavero, a person could say to his friend, Halveni kor chitin v'kotzeitz lo dom. Okay, so if you want a core of wheat, you could say to your friend, okay, can you lend me a core of wheat? But obviously he can't return a core of wheat because that's the whole thing with sa'a b'sa'a, you have to be concerned about interest. But he could say, look, can you lend me a core of wheat? And then they evaluate. How much is a core of wheat these days? You know, I don't know, $20. Okay, I will return $20. So who's lu? So if the value of wheat goes down, so now it's $15 for a core, nosin lo chitim. So he gives him the wheat. The question is, why would he give him the wheat? I thought they agreed on $20. Okay. Hukru, if they're more expensive, now it's $25 still, nosin demeim, he gives $20. Because that's the value. Falo katzatz, why are we saying that if wheat goes down to 15, he gives him the wheat? I thought that they agreed that no matter what happens, it's basically a $20 loan and he pays him back $20. So Rav Sheshi says, Rav Sheshi Sachi Kamer, this is what it's saying. Im lo kotzatz, if they didn't, you know, make it into value, you know, set a value for it. So then, who's lo notachitov? If they go down in value, so then he just gives him back the wheat because they went down in value. It's not ribis. Hukru no sein demeim, but if it went up in value, so then he would give, they would have a look at what the value was at the time, and you know, you would give the original value. Lo yomer adam lachavero, a person should not say to his friend, halveni kor chitin vani etin l'chol agorin. This is sa'a b'sa'a, right? A person should not say to his friend, lend me a core of wheat, and then later on when I, you know, after I'm done, you know, harvesting and threshing and all that stuff, and I have a core of wheat, I'll return you a core of wheat. So of course we don't do that, because if the value of wheat increases, so then there's an issue of ribis. Aval omer lo, but he can say to his friend, halveni ad shiyavo bni. Oh, but if you know he needs a core of wheat and he has a core of wheat, just you know it's locked in his granary or whatever, and he needs a core of wheat right now. Well, then he could say, Alveni, can you lend me a core of wheat until my son comes with the key to my granary so I can get my own, and then I'll give it back to you. I already have it. I just need to give it to you. I just need the key, really, so I can give it to you. Oh, or until I find the key. But, you know, once I find the key, I'll immediately return it to you. So this is a scenario where he has the wheat. He just doesn't have access to it right now, but he has it, and he will have access to it, and he'll be able to pay him back. So that's okay, because the whole concept of sa'a b'sa'a is avak ribis. It's ribis midrabanan. And the rabbis did not extend their avak ribis to a scenario where he already has it right now, and he just needs to get a key or whatever it is, in a situation of yeshlo. V'hillel oser. Hillel says, no, it's not allowed. Even Yeshlo would not be allowed. Okay? We don't paskin like that. We're going to see in the Gemara. V'cheno Yehillel Omer, and similarly Hillel would say, Lo salve ishe kikar lechaverto, a woman should not lend a loaf of bread to her friend, ad shete aseh adomin, before first transmitting it, or transferring the value to actual money, and the money will be returned, shem yukru chitin, because if the price of wheat goes up, v'nimtzu ba'osu de ribis, then it would be ribis, right? So meaning if she lends a loaf of bread to her neighbor, and then the price of wheat goes up, and the neighbor returns the loaf of bread, well then it's ribis. So therefore what she has to say is, look, this is how much it costs, you know, pay me back that amount. But we don't seem to paskin that way. Okay. So if you lend a loaf of bread, you can be paid back with a loaf of bread. Ravuna says, Ravuna yesh lo sa'a, lo ve sa'a. So in terms of sa'a b'sa'a, so assuming this is talking about a scenario of yeshlo, it's talking about a scenario of yeshlo. So Amar Avuna, yeshlo sa'a, yeah, exactly, yeshlo sa'a, if he has a sa'a, so lo v'sa'a. So then he could, right, when we say that if he has it, he could borrow it, so if he has one sa'a, he could borrow one sa'a. Sa'a saim, if he has two sa'a, lo v'sa'a saim, so he can borrow two sa'a. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer says, Rabbi Yitzchak, afilu yesh lo sa'a, lo v'alea kama korin. Even if all he has is one saw, he can, the sky's the limit. He can even borrow lots of cores, a lot more. I think cores maybe 40 saw. That okay, wait one second. Okay, anyways, because each additional sa'a is considered like, you know, well, I can borrow a sa'a because I have a sa'a. I can borrow another sa'a because I have a sa'a. I can borrow another sa'a because I have a sa'a. Right? So you can even borrow kind of a lot using that logic. Tani Reb Chiya l'siyuei l'Reb Yitzchok, and Reb Chiya teaches a brisa to support Reb Yitzchok, tipas yayin ein lo, tipas shemen ein lo, that right, you can't borrow a drop of wine if you don't have a drop of wine, or a drop of oil if you don't have a drop of oil. But if you have a drop of oil, so then lo ve'aleh, then you can borrow even kamatipin, even if it's several drops. You know, as long as you have a basic amount, you could then borrow quite a bit. The Hillel Oser. Hillel, however, had said that right, that saw b'sa'a in a situation of yeshlo does not work. Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman, Amr Shmuel, halacha k'divrei Hillel, that the halacha is like Hillel v'leisa chsakavasi, but we don't paskin that way, so the halacha is not like Hillel, and we can do sa'a b'sa'a in a scenario of yeshlo. V'chein haya Hillel Omer, and similarly Hillel would say, lo salva isha v'chule, that right, that she shouldn't lend a loaf of bread to her friend. Omer of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, zod v'Hillel, av hachachom omim, lovim stam, uforim stam. So it says of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, that's Hillel's opinion, but the rabbis say that, right, that you can just, you know, lend like a loaf of bread and say, pay me back a loaf of bread, because that's, right, that's considered kind of low stakes, short term. What does Rashi say? Lovin kikaru stam belokitiz as dam shalechmila daktik beisur saw besaw kokach. Yeah, they're not like super, you know, bigger kind of amounts, you know, of wheat to be paid later back and longer term with, like, you know, granary and after the threshing season. Right, that's already a more significant. But like, you know, a loaf of bread which is going to be paid back, you know, in the next few hours or days or whatever, that would be acceptable.
If you have people that are very makpid, they're very, you know, stingy with one another, a group that's very stingy with one another, over and eventually they're inevitably they're going to violate mishum mido, mishum mishkol, mishum minyan, mishum lovin uforim biyomtiv. You know, so like on Yom Tov, they're going to end up measuring things out, which you shouldn't do on Yom Tov. Mishum Mishkol, or weighing things out. Mishum Minin, or counting things out on Yom Tov. Mishum Lovin Uforim B'Yom Tov, or talking about, you know, borrowing something, you know, like, can I borrow some bread or something? And that's like, you know, loaning and borrowing. Like, they're going to end up, because they're so like stingy with one another, they're going to end up being so precise in ways that we don't want to be precise on Yom Tov. And according to Hillel, af mishum ribis, you can even, you know, be concerned about ribis, because someone's going to want to borrow bread, and then they're going to even bread, and it's going to go up, and then, okay.
Tamine chachamim are permitted to borrow from one another with interest. My time outcome, may the yade de ribis asura, because they obviously know, right, two Talmid Chachamim lending to each other obviously know that ribis is usur, so the additional amount is a gift. As we learned, I believe yesterday, that as long as it, you know, if it's given as, if the extra is given as a gift, so then that would be okay. Though it sounds like dafka between two Talmid Chachamim would be acceptable, but otherwise, maybe it sounds like we probably wouldn't rely upon this, maybe.
Omerle Shmuel Avua Bar'i, says Shmuel Avua Bar'i, Alveni Mea Pilplin, Bimea Ve'esim Pilplin. Hey, can you lend me 100 peppers and I'll give you back 120 V'arich, and that's completely fine.
Omer Vira Omer Rav, Mutla L'Adam L'Halvos Bonav Uvne Beso B'ribis. It's permitted for somebody to lend to his children or to the other people in his house with interest. Why? K'delat Imon Tam Ribis, so that they should get a taste of what interest is really like, so that they know to not mess with it. Vlav Milsi, but that's not recommended, Mishum Da'asi the Misrach, because if you get them in the hang of ribis, they might actually do ribis. Says the final Mishnah. What is this? Ooh. So says the final Mishnah of Perek Ezu Neshech, and I think I have enough time. I think I have about 20 minutes
to do this Mishnah. It should not be difficult. I think we'll be completely fine. Omer Adam Lachavero, a person could say to his friend, Nachesh imi va'anachesh imcha. Hey, would you weed with me and I'll weed with you? Ador imi va'ador imcha. Will you dig with me and then I'll pay you back. I'll return the favor. I'll dig with you. That's completely fine. V'lo yomar lo, nachesh imi va'ador imcha, ador imi va'anachesh imcha. But don't say, hey, can you weed with me and then I'll dig with you? Or can you dig with me and then I'll weed with you? Because we're concerned that maybe one of them will be more difficult than the other, in which case you're saying, well, because, you know, if I weed with you, and then tomorrow you dig with me, and digging is more difficult than weeding, then maybe it's because, you know, you made me wait, or whoever's waiting basically is getting the more value than he invested himself. Okay, so basically, weed for weed, dig for dig, not weed for dig, not dig for weed. Dig for weed? Kol yemei garid echod. All of the days of the summer are considered the same. Kol yemei revia achas, and all of the days of the winter are considered the same. Meaning, if I say, okay, I'll weed for you, you weed for me, so both have to be done within the same season. But right, lo yomar lo charosh imi bigard vani achrosh imcha barvia. Don't say that I'll plow with you in the summer and why don't you come plow with me in the winter? Because or what was it, the other way around? Charosh imi bigard, plow with me in the summer, vani achrosh imcha, and then I'll plow with you in the winter. Because the thing is, it's much more difficult to plow in the winter, so it's going to be a much more bigger investment to plow in the winter than in the summer, so you have to be concerned about ribis. But as long as it's the same season, then that's completely fine. Rabbi Gamliel, Amr says, Rabbi Gamliel, Yesh ribis mukdemes, Yesh ribis mucheres. There is early interest and late interest. What does that mean? Kate said, for example, Nosan Enav Livo Se Menu. For example, if Ruvain sees Shimon, Ruvain knows that that he's going to want to take out a loan from Shimon. So you know what he says? V'mshaleach lo. And just to like butter him up, Reuven sends Shimon a gift, and he says, "Bishvil shetalveni zoi ribis mukdemes." Look, I'm sending you this gift so that you know, so that you'll then give me a loan. Well, that's early interest, right? That he's kind of like, you know, giving him extra so that he'll be able to get a loan. So it's basically added, you know, it. In addition to paying back the eventual loan, he also had given him this gift. Love a menu, and if Reuven had already borrowed from Shimon, ve'hechzer lo esma osav, and he paid it back, and then, v'mishaleach lo, he sends a gift to Shimon, v'omer, and he says, b'shvil mosech shor b'telo setzli, he says, look, you know, I really appreciate that you loaned me money. After all, you know, the money was with me for a while, and you couldn't use it, so, you know, here, take this gift from me. So, Zoe Ribis Mucharis, this is belated. This is late Ribis. Rav Shimon Omer says, Rav Shimon, Yesh Ribis Devarim. There can even be verbal interest. Lo yomer lo daki ba ish ploni mimakom ploni. Meaning, if Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, so Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, so Reuven needs to pay back Shimon $1,000, no more, no less. Reuven cannot say, while he has yet to repay Shimon, Reuven cannot say to Shimon, oh, Shimon, by the way, so-and-so came to this town. I think that might be of interest to you. Well, interest, right? You know, you might want to know. That's considered even verbal interest because essentially Shimon's going to get paid back his $1,000 plus this tip that he got from Reuven. Ve'lo oven below saisei, and the following people violate the lo taasei of ribis. It's interesting that this comes at the very end of Ezu Neshech, but business be'etzim is the isser of ribis. Amal, to whom is also ribis? As we know, amalve, the lender, ve'alove, the borrower, ve'arev, a guarantor of this illegal loan, ve'aedim, and the witnesses on the loan. All of those people are in violation of lavs. Ve'chacham om, the chacham say, afasofer, even the scribe, over mishum, and they violate. So all of these psukim, you know, only the malveh is going to violate all of them. But these are the psukim.
Over mishum lo sitain, don't give. So don't give, but there's two instances of lo sitain, right? It's kaspa lo sitain b'neshech uvmarvis lo sitain ochlecha. So he violates lo sitain, umishum al tikach meito, don't take from him interest. Umishum lo siya lo kinoshi, you shouldn't be a creditor. Umishum lo sisimun olav neshech, don't place upon him interest. Umishum v'lifnevi lo sitain michshol, don't put a stumbling block before the blind. Various melokecha ni Hashem, and fear God, I am Hashem. So the lender, the borrower, the guarantor, the witnesses, possibly even the scribe, they're all in violation of the Isser of Ribbis. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Yechai, Omer says Reb Shimon ben Yechai, Minayin l'noshe b'chaveru mona v'in rogel aktim lo shulim. How do I know that if Shimon lends money to Reuven, now Reuven doesn't necessarily always say hi to Shimon every time he sees Shimon, but now, now he's not, you know, he can't be like, oh wow, Shimon lent me money, now I'm going to be nice to him. I'm going to say hi to him every time I see him. No, he would not be allowed to go out of his way to be makdim shalom to Shimon. Tamaloma neshech kol dover, asher yishach afilu dibur b'osir. It says neshech kol dover, which dover is like dibur, that even speech can be considered interest. Ve'elu ovrin, and these people violate the law of Ribbis. Omar Abai says, Abai, malve over bechulim. So the loaner violates all of the lavin. Love, the borrower, over mishum lo sashich, do not pay interest. Lachicha to your brother, lachicha lo sashich, and don't pay interest to your brother. Vifnei lo site michshol, and don't put a stumbling block before the blind, which I guess is by paying back the loaner. Ari va'edim, the guarantor and the witnesses, enoven ella mishum lo simun olav neshech, they only violate, do not place upon him interest. Tani, we learned by Reb Shimon Omer, says Reb Shimon, malve ribis, people who lend with interest, yosim imashim arvichim afsidim, they lose more than they gain. They think that they're gaining by lending with ribis, they actually lose more than they gain. As we learned the other day, that all, you know, all their stuff is going to be like, you know, they're going to lose everything and not be able to get it back. Not only that, Ela Shemesim Moshe Rabbeinu Chochem V'Sorosu Emes. This is kind of sarcastic, you know, euphemistic. That, and they make the Ela Shemesim Moshe Rabbeinu Chochem. They make Moses into a wise person and his Torah true. Meaning the opposite, right? They're effectively, you know, trying to make Moshe look stupid and his Torah false. V'omen, and instead they claim, Iluhay Yodea Moshe Rabbeinu Sheyeye Revach Badover. If only Moshe Rabbeinu would have known that what's that word called when you like make a lot of money? How making a lot of money, this is how, I don't know, my mind is like starting to fade. La'yodei Moshe Rabbeinu, she'yeh revach badover, if only Moshe Rabbeinu would have known how making money this is, lo'hoya kosva, he wouldn't have told, written in the Torah not to do it, he just didn't know. Ki also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amri said, minayin l'noshe v'chaver omona, v'yodei she'ein lo, how do you know that if Shimon lent money to Reuven, and he knows that Reuven doesn't have it, she'asur la'avor lefonav, Shimon can't kind of like, you know, walk in front of him and, you know, kind of like, I guess, in a sense, like make him aware of it. Tamulomar losia lo kenosha, you shouldn't be a creditor, right? Don't put yourself in a position where he's, you know, Reuven's going to see you and now you're his creditor. Don't kind of do that. Rabbi Ami Rabasi, Dami Tarvayu, Sivami Rabasi, Ki'ilu dono b'shnei dinin, a person who does this, who makes himself, you know, shows himself as his creditor. So he's like judging the debtor with two judgments. Shenemar, as the pasuk says here, kavta enosh l'ashenu, you put a person on our heads. Banu ba'esh v'mayim, we're coming in fire and in water. Those are the two judgments. Amravuto amarav, komisha yeshlo mos umavosin shelo be'edim. If a person has money and he lends them out without witnesses. Right, so Shimon lends Reuven money, and there's no witnesses there. Over mishum v'lifnei evil osite michshol, Shimon violates, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person because, you know, there's no witnesses. So Reuven may be tempted to deny having borrowed the money because after all, it's not going to be provable. Rish Lakish Amr says, Rish Lakish Gorim Klal Atma, he causes a curse to befall himself, Shinemar, because the Pasuk says, Te'elam Nesif Seh Shaker, should the false lips be silenced? Hadovros at Tzadik Osok, who speak nonsense about Tzadikim, meaning what's going to end up happening is, Shimon lent money to Reuven. Reuven, there were no witnesses, so Reuven may end up denying it. And if that's the case, now Shimon's going to go after Reuven. And what's it going to look like? Oppressor and oppressee. And everyone sides with the oppressee. And therefore, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. And Shimon lent money. And when trying to sort of get it back, he's going to be the bad guy. Amru le Rabbanon le Ravashi. The rabbi said to Ravashi, Komekayim Ravino. That Ravina is Mekayim, all of the things that the rabbis say, including not lending out money without witnesses, meaning you would only lend out money with witnesses. Shalach le badi pani de bali shabsa. So Rav Ashi thought to test this out, to test out Ravina, and he sent to Ravina right before Shabbos, mamish, I guess, like right now, like it's less than 10 minutes to Shabbos. Lishdar li mar asar zuze, would you send me 10 zuz to Israeli katina de ara, because there's a small parcel of land that I have an opportunity to buy. Can you lend me 10 zuz? The mizabin say I can buy it. Shalach le nesi mar saide. So Ravina says, sure, just bring two witnesses. Vinichtav ksava, and we'll write up a document. Shalach le afilu ananami. And Ravina says, and Ravashi says to Ravina, wait, even for me? You don't trust I'm going to pay you back? We need witnesses. Shalachle, Ravina says, Kol Shekin Mar, of course, certainly, all the more so you, Ravashi, the Tard Begirsi, because you're so engrossed in your learning, you might forget, Mishtalev, Goyim Kol Atzmi, you might forget that you borrowed this money, you know, your head, your mind is in other places, and then it's going to, you know, can cause a curse to me, as the Pasuk says, right? Te'elam Nesifnei, Sifsei Shokar Adovosal Tzadik also. Tanarabanan, the rabbis thought, Shloshet Se'akin, so I guess Ravina passed the test. Tanarabanan, Shloshet Se'akin Ve'enanenin, there are three who yell out and cry out and pray, and they are not answered because they did it to themselves. They're responsible for their own predicament. Ve'eluen, and these are them. Mishieshlo Ma'osu Mava Osin Shlo Be'edim, a person who has money and lends it out without witnesses, you know, and now the person's denying it, well, I mean, you know, sorry, dude. And a person who acquires a adon for himself, and we can explain what that means in a minute. And a person whose wife rules over him. What does it mean to acquire an adon for yourself? Those who say tolin chosiv benochri, a person who, so as not to look wealthy, he says, nah, it's not mine. It's Joe the Nochri's. So that is what's going to end up happening, though. Joe the Nochri is going to find out that this yid tends to do this, and he's going to secretly get witnesses to hear this yid say this, and then he's going to testify against him, and the yid's going to lose everything. If somebody writes over his property to his children in his lifetime, and you know now it's theirs. So those who say, so look, if somebody's not having good luck in this city, and he can go to another city and hopefully have better luck, and he doesn't try it, so, you know, what do you want me to tell you? Hajun Olach Ezu Neshech, we'll come back to you, Perek Ezu Neshech. Wow! Chevre, I think that's the buzzer for Shabbos, that's the Shabbos buzzer. But Chevre, we did it! We did it! Chevre, we at Babylon Talmud have learned Ezu Neshech. Peace out.